of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE right here in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour today talking about the Word of God and that God loves justice. And so we're going to be finishing up Isaiah 59 over the next program or two. If we don't finish it today, we'll finish it up on Monday. But I do want to welcome you, want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. Over the past few weeks, we have seen a number of people give their heart to Jesus, and for that, we are very, very thankful. For we are in the salvation business because God is in the redemption business and in the salvation business. And so, every once in a while I get a email from somebody that says, so just how many people a week are getting saved at Merritt Assembly of God? And my response is, you know, because he's looking to get in, you know, where something is already going. And the last time I communicated with him is, how many people are you leading to Jesus? And so let me ask you, how many people are you leading to Jesus? Because God wants you to be leading people to Jesus. So if that person happens to be listening, we have seen in a congregation that, you know, is running, you know, 30s and 40s and 50s right now, we've seen somewhere close to seven decisions that I'm aware of. And so we're very thankful for that. That's a pretty good start for reaching Brevard County. So I want to say thank you today to the folks at Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you're in the central part of Brevard County and your air conditioner has decided to go on summer vacation, you need to give them a call so they can come out and call them back into service. So 321-759-3284. If your unit is having a problem, if there's been a power surge and all of a sudden a component has gone out, maybe it's been working so hard that it's developed a leak and it's working, but it's not working. I hate that when that happens. You can give the folks at Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. If you have an old unit, they know how to work on those. If you have a newer unit, they know how to work on those. And we want to encourage you to give them a call because they will treat you fairly. They are experts in their field, and they can get you back up and running and helping you to stay cool during this summer. So we recommend Creative AC Solutions highly. So we are going back to Isaiah chapter 59 today, Isaiah chapter 59. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 13. And then we're going to be sharing from this passage today. And I don't give you a title for these programs very often, but as I was preparing to come in, I felt like there was a title here. And it's like, God, what are you going to do about all this? God, what are you going to do about all this? In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 13, it says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, justice is turned back and righteousness stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Verse number 16. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. So God evaluates the situation. He keeps an eye on it. He's fully aware of what's going on. And he recognizes that with all of this injustice that is going on against him, and the injustice is now spreading and it is affecting the people that he created in his image, and there's death and sorrow and oppression and misery and heartache, and God begins to look at the situation and he finds that there are three things that are missing. He finds three things that are missing. First of all, he notices that there is no justice. Okay? And I will tell you that even our current justice system it's got its flaws, but it also doesn't come anywhere close to what the standard for biblical justice was going on. And so I know that there have been some horrible things that have happened, but God looks around here and he says, there is no justice going on in this society at this point in time. So that's the first thing, there's no justice. And the second thing is, it says that he saw that there was no man. He saw that there wasn't a solution that was going to come from man because nobody was willing to step up to the plate and address it. I want to tell you that the church is supposed to be a practitioner of justice. And we need, if nobody else steps up, the pastor needs to be the one that steps up and says, look, this is not right, and we're going to do something about it. So we want to celebrate. We have a family in our church. Their parents are Assemblies of God missionaries in a different country, and they sent us pictures of one of their church services, and there were people playing musical instruments, and there were people gathering, and they were worshiping the Lord. And the first picture that I saw, I said, that church needs a roof. And so she had sent me two pictures, and all it had for a roof structure was tree branches. And I don't know about you, but that wouldn't cut it in really intense heat. And so I sent back and said, you know, that church needs a roof. And she sent me back a message and said, actually, Pastor, the church needs a bathroom. And she sent two pictures of her dad, you know, taking pictures of what they call a bathroom. And it was horrible. It was horrible. And so for our church's 69th anniversary, we decided that we would bless that church. And we mentioned that here on the radio program. And we have dispersed those funds. And we raised several thousand dollars. They thought that it would take $3,000 for the restroom. And between our church and some of the listeners from the radio program, we raised almost $9,000 that we were able to send so that the church could have a bathroom and so that it could have a roof where people could gather together and worship the name of Jesus. That's amazing, okay? But the reason that the reason that we became involved in that situation was someone else had said it's not going to be able to be done for several years. There's no way that we can fund that for several years. Well, I'm not the type of person that says there's only one sort of solution to an earthly problem. So here several weeks ago, our Bible study on Wednesday night, the gentleman that was leading that, because we have two meetings that go on, and I am the backup in both of those meetings. And so most of the time that means that I'm there and I'm just kind of helping to facilitate and steer the service, but really there's another person that's speaking, and he was speaking about the situation with David and Goliath and how Goliath, when he approached the battle, he said, you know, I'm bringing my traditional weaponry, and David says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I want you to know that sometimes there's a different battle strategy than a traditional battle strategy. So, you know, you've heard it said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. That's an old line, and I think of the Raiders of the Lost Ark whenever I see that, you know, that he was trying to get away, and there's a humorous side to that scene in the filming of that movie. But I want to encourage you that there's a spiritual solution to whatever injustice you may be facing. And so just like we were able to bring provision to solve that church structure issue, I believe that God has got a solution to whatever problem you may be facing. And it says that there was one other thing that he noticed that there was a lack of, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. Why was there no one interceding on behalf of God? Why was no one interceding on behalf of the injustice that other people, was it because it hadn't touched anyone in their family yet? And I'll say that again, yet, because it would sooner or later. You know, there was the story that someone said when the Nazis were rampaging through their society, they came for this group of people and I didn't say anything. And they came for the next group of people, and I didn't say anything. And they came for the next and the next and the next and the next group, and I didn't say anything. And he said, and finally they came for me, and there was no one left to stand up for me. Sooner or later, the oppressor and the injustice will find its way to your house if you don't have Jesus, the God of justice. You want to be there saying, you know what? I'm not going to wait for the final domino to fall. I don't want the first domino. So I have challenged our church on Wednesday night. Say, not on our watch. There's not going to be a targeting of our young people for destruction and confusion and sin. We're not on our watch. There's not going to be a surrendering. So be praying for young people. Be praying for young people, because if they weren't precious, the devil would not be targeting them. You know, people don't steal junk. People target things of value. Well, the devil targets things of value, and he's targeting young people, and we need to say, not on our watch. And so I'm calling you to not only be a person who prays. You do need to be a person that prays and intercedes, but you also need to be a person who hears from God and says, this is what I want you to do. God has a solution. And you know what? Many times the people that God uses are simply the people that said yes. He's capable of doing great exploits to any of us who know God. So he notices that there's no justice, there's no man, and there was no intercessor. And he said, therefore, even with all of that lack, there was no preventing God from doing what God wanted to do, what God needed to do. So, God, what are you going to do about this? And it says here, therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. You see, God chooses to partner with man, but he is able to fulfill his plan all by himself if he needs to. Now, I will tell you this. The Bible in the book of Jude, right before Revelation, says, contend for the faith that has been committed to the saints once and for all. There isn't a backup plan. I don't think God's going to be speaking to donkeys anytime soon. Mr. Ed was a fictional character. Some of you are listening and say, who is Mr. Ed? I want you to know I did not see Mr. Ed in its first run. I saw Mr. Ed decades after it was a discontinued program. Just so you know. Not that old. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. So, God is a just, holy, and righteous God. He is the Savior. And he says that he is our righteousness. He is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. He's the source. He is the example. It's who he is. He cannot deny himself. The Bible says, even if we are unfaithful, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. It is who he is. He is righteous all the time, in every setting, in every generation, in every time frame. God always, always does the right thing. He imparts right standing to us. You know, there was a parable that Jesus told about a man who owed massive, massive amounts of money to this ruler. Decades of debt. And the ruler said, because I like you, I'm going to wipe out your debt. And the problem for that guy was he went out and did not follow that example that had been set for him, and he went out and had a person who owed him just a little bit of money and had him thrown into the debtor's prison, and the person that wiped out his debt said, you missed the point. You missed the point. I want you to know that God, his righteousness sustains him, and because of his righteousness, he can impart our debt being canceled, our spiritual bankruptcy being wiped out, and you and I being entrusted with true spiritual wealth because his own righteousness sustains him. And I've got a little addendum I would like to insert here. And his righteousness sustains us as well. His righteousness sustains us as well. I don't know how we got to the place where we are in America where we want just the bare minimum of God. And then if a person is really passionate for God, they want more than the bare minimum. I don't know how we got to that place. I am of the mindset that righteousness, right standing, is something that, you know, and I talked about this earlier in this series, is that because we are children of righteousness, children of the King, because we are spiritual royalty, we live with a protocol that the world doesn't necessarily have to live by at this point in time. So they're clearly confused as why we do not participate, as the Bible says, in the dissipation that they participate in. And if you've ever been around a pool, when the water dissipates or it evaporates out of your pool, you've got to replace that. There's things that are disappearing. I don't want to participate in things that are going to take away from my life. I want to live a righteous and holy life so that God's righteousness sustains me. So the psalmist says, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Okay, I tell you something that gets under my skin, and that's when somebody is standing on a street corner with a sign supposedly representing a church or a ministry or something like that, and they're out there begging. And I want to say, you know what? I can speak to this from an authoritative standpoint. Even in the days when our church had very few people and even less money, we weren't out there begging for finances. There were people that decades after we had gone through that thing, they said, you know what? We just called up and we just said, we need more money. And I was like, I didn't even know that was an option. You know, I thought that all of this time that I had been growing up in the Lord, that I was banking on, counting on the righteousness of God and the provision of God, and that provision sustains me financially, it sustains me spiritually, and it sustains us intellectually, emotionally, and as far as, and relationally. So, stand in righteousness. Stand in righteousness. It sustained God, and it will sustain you. Now, I want you to listen to the next two clauses and see if they sound familiar. It says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. Now, if you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, it is one of the most frequently preached on passages of Scripture. Listen to verse number 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on, get this, the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. What I want you to see is that what we title the armor of God, and we have the responsibility to put that armor on. If you look at that, it says, having girded your waist. You're the one that's responsible for preparing yourself, putting on your spiritual garments, if you will. And we call it the armor of God because it's also the armor that God uses. When God goes into battle, he never goes into spiritual battle for an unrighteous cause. It's always a righteous cause. When he goes into battle, it is not for destruction. It's for salvation. It's the helmet of salvation on his head. He puts on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I want you to understand something. When God couldn't find a human being to stand up for injustice, God got up put on the breastplate of righteousness, put on the helmet of salvation, put on the garments of vengeance. He was going to go forth and deal with all of the oppression that had been dealt out by society, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So let me tell you, the Bible specifically says that vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. So you never have to worry about whether justice is going to be done. But I will tell you that God's very zealous about not wanting any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. So I've told you on a program earlier, and I don't get this meme correct, I'm sure, but it was a meme that said this, that when the Apostle Paul was martyred for his faith, that the saints that he had killed for their faith applauded when he entered into heaven. And that is the kingdom of God. The only way that that can be done is because God makes it happen. We're not crying out, God, they were mean to me. Yeah, the world is a mean place. If you take God out of the equation, if you've taken God's love out of the equation, you're left with nothing but hatred and viciousness. When you take life out of the equation, you're left with death and murdering that takes place. But God says, you know what? You don't have to worry about that. I will come, and I will be very zealous. God is not an apathetic, you know, he's not a distracted warrior. When he comes to establish justice in a society, you better buckle up, Gertrude, because God's getting ready to set society the way that it was supposed to. Read the book of Revelation, and you will find that the end result is that the creation that God intended at the beginning is restored by the God who created it in the book of Revelation. God gets the last word. If you're facing injustice right now, I want to appeal to you. Say, hey, God, would you do something about this? And he will. God bless you. You have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday, right on here on the Refresh Radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
shed.